Welcome back to another fascinating episode of Ask the Phoenix. This is episode 47. This episode is titled Optimal Level of Distraction. Now, y'all know in this podcast, the more we learn, the more we realize we learn nothing at all. So in no way, shape, form, or fashion do we think that we have all the answers. However, this is Creative Thinking Fitness, and we like to apply innovative tools and techniques to things that's already real and try to bring some new thinking to it and some new solutions around it. So it's been long stated in creativity that there's a level of distraction that is necessary for the serendipity that is creativity or innovative thinking, right? And there's an optimal level of that distraction that produces this, you know, this abundant level of creativity. And I wanted to see how, you know, that broke down when it came to, you know, current events, what's happening right now. The date is June 1st, 2020. This is the official last month of the second quarter, right, Goose?
Yep.
And in this second quarter, we've had virus, depression-like recession, protests nationwide. Now it's starting to look international. It's global. Death, more police brutality, social injustice. And I wanted to be able, I wanted to see, like, how did this, it seemed like we got the ear of the universe now. Like, we're shouting so loud that we're starting to be heard by, you know, larger organizations, corporations, CEOs, Fortune 500s, governments, so on and so forth. And I was like, well, what, like, how, you know, how does that come about? And I'm always joking with Goose to say that if sports was to ever leave, then we have a real issue. You know what I mean? But let me even introduce myself. I'm Naj, Phoenix Innovation Group, founder and principal. Sorry to stop in the middle and introduce myself, but I wanted you to know who you was talking to, so my fault. Phoenix Innovation Group is an innovation and organizational development consulting firm that I established in 2016, and we specialize in small business development and innovative solutions. So that's me, and then.
No, I'm Goose. I'm a freelancer. I do whatever.
He's a curator. You know, he's the vibe curator.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Hit Goose up for all the vibes at Goose So Suave. So now that you know who you're talking to, you know that we don't know anything at all, and that makes us curious, so that we want to know it all. So right in the middle of what I was talking about is applying some new thinking to what's going on around us. Like, so how did that happen? So I'm calling it a perfect storm of unemployment. We got 40 million people that's scheduled for unemployment, but we know that number is much larger. We know that there's a lot of people that are unemployed. We got 45 days of being locked in the house, shelter in place.
I feel like it's longer than that.
It's been longer than 45?
I feel like it, because I think it's been like 2.5 months, I feel like, because I haven't been to work.
So 75
since,
days.
I haven't been to work since the middle of March.
So 75 days locked in.
Yeah.
Shelter in place.
Right.
Rents ain't being paid. Mortgages ain't being paid. Car notes, insurances ain't being paid. Bank accounts overdraft. No money coming in. Excuse me. People getting unemployment, but it's been a strain on the system. On the system, it was a test to the system. How many people? It's broken like every week when people try to file on Sundays.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can't get, like if I lost my job right now and had to try to claim it. No way, I'm getting through.
It's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. So you got that. You have no sports of any kind.
No distraction.
You got babies in the house. No school. No reason to leave the house because your friends and all that could potentially have the Rona, quote unquote. So you know, we had to get, especially in the beginning, we had to give it all space and time. And within that time, we go through a series of thinking. You know, I know psychologists are going crazy with the data right now to see what people, because they were trying to place the grief cycle. They were trying to put a lot of different models on what we're doing right now. And it's like new. So I'm sure they're going to eat that data up. So I was just trying to, I was just looking at it myself at all the different distractions that we do have and the cycles of thinking that you would go through. I mean, of course, you binged out on television and social media. You play games with your family. But then it came a time where you was in your room a lot, or you was sequestering yourself. You still was having fun, but you still needed that me time. And within that me time, you started to think. And that's when the complexity, the problem solving starts to happen, right? Like, what's going on? Like, what's going to happen about this? And you're getting fed all this information, whether it be misinformation or good information. It's on the news. It's everywhere. Everything is going on, right? And then now you have in a very powder keg situation where we have this tremendous lack of leadership and, everybody wants someone to blame. Millennials are going through the second financial crisis in their lifetime. Post-millennials are going through a financial crisis and a pandemic, as we all are. And I don't want to just say they're into economics and politics. They're like developing themselves within it.
Sure.
At the same time. So whereas the average person would be like, yo, I don't even want to talk about this shit right now. Turn the game on. That doesn't exist right now.
Right. There's not like a distraction to get you away from what's like going on, actually going on.
Yes.
We don't have like the entertainment distraction right now.
Facts. And leading scientists, consultants, and creativity and problem solving, organizational development say that innovative thinking requires an optimal level of distraction. And Goose and I were speaking in pre-pro, and I was just like, well, that makes sense right now that the protests are active the way they are almost internationally. It's because we have time to slow down and think innovatively, right? And you have a spectrum of sides, right? Of people that don't like this and people that is just like, I'm tired, I'm fed up, I don't know what else to do. And to me, that exhaustion, that fatigue is symbolized by those young people of all races, colors, creeds, out side by side about the upset of the murder of George Floyd on television, the way, you know, just the unmitigated gall of what we have been witnessing, like Breonna Taylor, like just so we was talking about all of that, man, and we need solutions, and this lack of leadership is like lighter fluid, where leadership could be the ABC fire extinguisher. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I'm not going to say he, but folks are confused. They're disrupted. As our brother, the great Zach, said, it's the programming, right? Super programming. And what we're seeing right now is a code that has disrupted the matrix, and progressive. Well, I won't even say progressive. Millennials and post-millennials are like, we want to see some changes to the status quo, the obvious, the things that are obvious. Like, it's America has this relationship with injustice, like an abusive boyfriend gaslights his girlfriend. What do you mean? That's not what's really going on. Stop that. Right? And where distractions impair logical ordered thinking, right? Reasoning and so on and so forth. It is a great tool for thinking innovatively and what we see, what we are as Americans, right? On an everyday level is what America is on a global level, right? Goose and I was talking about how things break down from like way back with psychological warfares, even with like Vlad the Impaler, and how he impaled well over 20,000 bodies in any which way on pikes, right? Whether it be from through their back, through their stomachs, through their anus, he sat them up on those pikes and they stayed there. What people thought about our barbarians back in the day, that they were classless, that they were without culture, big brutes, big dumb brutes. And, you know, and Goose was like, you know, that's what people think about some Americans, like a lot of Americans internationally. And I'm like, yeah, I've even heard somebody say that before, like you're barbaric or you're like children. You know, you Americans are like children. And it's like, you know, but we, in a way, are like the world faction gang leader.
For sure.
You know what I mean? We talked about World War II and Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and how they couldn't have an army after that. And we're going to give you money to rebuild, but you're going to be rebuilding in an innovative kind of way, right? The coordinated effort of like clandestine supremacy,
mm-hmm.
code of conduct with that. It's just and a coordinated effort to keep a like the darker skins subjugated, like systemically, you know what I mean, and then gaslight you and say, oh no, nothing is really going on. And what are you talking about? Nothing is happening. You know what I mean? Just like what, like I didn't watch the video, but I overheard it, you know, while, you know, it's in the media. So you over, like, even if I'm in another room and something is playing, stated a culture or something on Revolt, something, one of them joints on Revolt came on, and the beginning of it was the sound of the intro was the sound of George Floyd being murdered. So I heard it, and while he was, you know, gasping and things like that, the cop was like, "What are you on?" Like he was on drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was just like
insane.
That's gaslighting at its best.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So instead of looking at this unrest as protest and these people are violent and things like that, why not look at it like this is innovation, disruption happening, right? Because there's a quick stop loss button that's arrest the other three, right?
Absolutely.
But that is
that, if all four of them would have got arrested right away, I mean, we probably wouldn't see what's going on right now.
We wouldn't see this.
Right.
However, the gaslighting continues, right? We don't understand why this is going on, so we're going to enforce law and order. You know what I mean? Now it's backbreaking time. Mm-hmm. Some another gentleman was just killed. What's his name? Mr. McAtee?
Yeah, yeah. He got killed in convenient, like during the protest, and conveniently the body cams were off for those police officers.
And he's still missing. Right or something like that.
No, they
found him.
Yeah, he got killed.
Oh, he got killed. Right. Oh, the footage you said was missing.
Yeah, the footage okay. was missing. I mean, they just the mayor, I guess, fired the chief of police. But I mean, those guys should
the damage is done.
Them guys should still be arrested right now.
Right
they
now.
Didn't say those guys got arrested. All they said was the chief of police got fired. That's not justice for that dude getting murdered.
No, and it's a lot of stuff that's happening right now. I believe media has a strict order to not publicize violence or like from the like police angle.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess I think it depends on what news station you're watching. Because I mean, right before I came over here, CNN was live when Trump gave his little quick speech, and they literally showed the cops tear gassing peaceful protesters just so he could walk across the street to take a picture with a Bible at the church for a photo op. They peacefully tear gassed, or they tear gassed peaceful protesters that were doing nothing wrong outside the White House just so he could go take a photo op. And he could control the narrative on Fox News.
Man, shout out to...
So, like, they actually showed the police officers doing this. So that was one of the first times I saw the media, like, really, the real media, like, the big media showing, like, the cops doing something wrong.
Something going,
but you go on Twitter and shit like that, you see, like, the cops doing shit wrong.
You see the real shit.
Yeah, you see the real shit from people in
people
the streets.
Phones and shit.
I showed you the picture right before we hopped on there.
Yeah.
That was insane. Like,
but the picture, the man got the gun in another American's face of darker skin. He's got whatever kind of gun this is, the father
like
has
the stun
his
gun
son,
joint.
Or it looks like a father and son.
Yeah,
he has the baby on his shoulders. He can't be no more than three.
Yeah, just
you know what I mean. As fathers do, and this cop is no more than 3 feet away,
pointed right in his face
with the gun pointed right in both of their faces. So it's just like, you know, that's the guy. I don't see the problem with that. Right, that'll be the line. I don't see the problem with that. Like, it's a matter of compliance for a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Obedience.
Right. Compliance and obedience. Like, I don't see what you're going to, or even like when I was watching Insecure, and it was just like, well, you know, the boyfriend's brother was like, well, don't you think I have to encounter racism on a daily basis or whatever, but I get to choose how I respond to it. But there's not this narrative that goes with being black. You know what I'm saying? Of you know, the programming of an international understanding, a global understanding that this person or these persons are lesser than, they don't think right, or whatever. Whatever those narratives that's been constructed, created. And like when we discussed the data that we just, you know, that just came out, that recently came out about the level of segregation is like 80%. Like we all, 80% of people have their friend circle is of their race. That's it. So it kind of makes sense of how we got here. And we was talking about apartheid in South Africa, and like watching their media now, watching their movies and things like that. And I'm assuming that there are imitates life like over here, because I haven't been to South Africa. Shout out to him over there. Shout out to Moon. I know you was just there. It appears to me that they have this level of respect for one another as individuals would that had fought each other before. You know what I mean? Like Goose and I was talking about, and Goose was talking about how he whooped somebody's ass, or they got to fighting before, and how that person became friends with him, and then one person became his barber. You know what I mean? And they still friends, and tight friends to this day. And several of us have had instances where we grew a tougher level of a more intense, deeper level of respect for an individual that we fought for, and we were able to bury the hatchet, right? You know. And this example that I use was like, say Goose and I, we were riding bikes every day, and you know, Goose, we bus balls, you know, shit like that every day, you know, with each other, pause. And I'm riding by, he throw a stick in my spokes, and I flip over off my bike, bust my face. Goose quickly apologizes and say, "Yo, man, my fault. I ain't mean to do that. We was joking around. I thought it was just, I didn't think it would went like that. I sincerely apologize. Yo, let me walk you home." You know, like, damn, my fault, man. Like, what can I do to make it better? He's sincere. I might be upset. I might even not want to talk to him because of what happened. But at the end of the day, I know from that conversation afterward that he meant well. Now, shortly after that, he would have still called to check in on me and apologize again, right?
For sure.
Now, run the scenario back. We ride bikes, we play. He throw a stick in my spoke. I flip off the bike, bust my face, get up. He doesn't apologize. We get up on the bike. He just asks me if I'm all right. I'm all right. We get back on the bikes. We go back and we live in our lives. We doing our thug thizzle. And I ask like, yo, what do you think would happen if you didn't apologize and we continued to be friends? And what did you say, Goose?
I mean, pretty much there would just be like that awkwardness, like that tension, yeah, in the air. Like,
most definitely. Most definitely. And there would be I'd be passive about what you did, you know what I mean? For whatever reason, maybe because we friends, I'd just be trying to keep hinting at it passively, like, yeah, because you know, God forbid you hurt somebody with another stick or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then however it'd be a powder keg situation where it'd bubble up, excuse me, and then I'm like, man, you didn't even apologize to me, man. You hurt me and you didn't even apologize. And in fact, I heard you was laughing about it with somebody else, like it was a joke, like it was a game. You know what I mean? It's either whatever with you, or we not going to be friends no more. You know what I mean? Even if you apologize at that moment, it's still going to take us some time to get back.
Yeah.
But at least you apologize, right? And we can work back at it. And I liken this that situation to the situation that we are in America, you know what I mean? With South Africa, it seems like that's where they are.
That apology happened.
Yeah, that apology happened. Some of the work is happening or has happened, and they can address the ugly past together. Mm-hmm. you know, we're at a space
that hasn't happened yet here.
We don't even eat together.
Right.
You know.
Anytime something like this happens, you know what I'm saying? It's like they act like it's a one-off thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't normal. Or this is the everyday. This is what happens every day, for real.
Every day.
Yeah.
And if this is a predominantly white country built on predominantly white values, then that means that that's white leadership. So that leadership is reflective in everybody. So if the leadership is 80% segregated, even on off hours, then what does that look like for everybody else?
Yeah.
Then everybody else is going to be like, man, you know, I don't have Arab friends. I don't have Laotian friends. I don't have, you know what I mean? So Absolutely. On and so forth. Like, we're associated. We make acquaintance.
Yeah.
But there's always that barrier of subliminal racism amongst all of us.
Yeah,
because that's the rank and file in America. You know what I'm saying? Once you get here, that's just a part of it. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, even with your binge watching, right? Like, I factored that in the perfect storm. Like, you got the Hunters that come out. I don't know if you watched The Hunters.
I do not.
But The Hunters was good. Okay. It was about...
I feel like we watched the one episode.
Jews fight, like...
Oh, yeah. We watched that episode. I watched one episode with you.
Yeah, like, Jewish folks wasn't just, like, lambs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the slaughter. You know, there was these definite counter efforts. And then you have Peaky Blinders. Not Peaky Blinders. Penny Dreadful,
okay,
on Showtime, that has that cadence of the Third Reich trying to establish here, the Mexicans having this issue with the police, social injustice, but this was in the 19, I want to say during the era of like right after the first World War, I mean the Second World War.
I meant to say Second
World. My fault.
So like 50s,
like 40,
40 early 40s. Late 40s.
Yeah, like late 40s, because they just now starting. They just now coined Chicano. They just got the first Black Mexican detective.
Oh no!
I mean Black Mexican, the first Mexican detective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's around that era. It's like a lot of the entertainment is like this like anti-fascist kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
No pun intended, like right. With the Antifa, but like a lot of the American spirit is the underdog, right? We love the underdog.
Yep.
So naturally that effect is to, you know, for David to be the Goliath type of figure, right?
100%.
But we have to understand the dynamics at work as far as the rules of capitalism within this whole thing and what that means for having an empire, right? We know historically empires are crushed and usually from within first and then decimated from the outside. And capitalism works totally against those principles by not letting you have a monopoly. A monopoly is virtually an empire, right? No one can oppose you. Capitalism protects against that. It doesn't allow any one entity or enterprise to have a monopoly. So what does that mean for America? We kind of dole out responsibilities for different things. You know what I mean? We're not just going to go in and take full control of oil. That wouldn't make us look good. So that would have, you know, smaller factions, you know, rebelling against the government. So we allow you to have this. We allow Asians to do this and do that and do so on and so forth. But the power is emanating from here. You know what I mean? So there's no big brother country that Americans can go to say, hey, they're not treating this right here.
Right. Yeah. We're it.
We're that faction. There's no, we have to be our own big
like,
brother.
Yeah. Like our people can't run to another country and be like, yo, fucking, they're treating us bad. Like, can you help us out? Like, no one wants to admit. Like,
they're going to laugh.
Yeah. They're like, that sucks.
In fact, who was it? I was watching some interview and it was a celebrity saying that they were getting calls from, you know, other parts of the world. And they were like, yeah, of course it's racist here. Or we see Germany and London and these other places. It was like, of course we see, you know, small, you know, bouts of racism here still. However, nothing like this. Nothing like,
right.
You know, what y'all are experiencing in America, man. Like, this is insane.
Where the entire system is meant to be like that. You know, in some other countries, it's just like you said, a small group of people that still have their feelings towards things. And they might not necessarily even have real power to, like, hold you know, that group down. America, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have a whole system in place to keep.
The United States demonstrates their power on us, on persons of color.
No question.
And the rest of the world is like, they test they new police tactics and all that because they sell those values. They sell those values overseas.
For sure.
So it's like, well, we're going to show you how well it works here with this. And then like...
Yeah, we're definitely like a testing ground for all this shit, for sure.
And then they later come up with, like, London will come up with a better way.
Yeah.
And try to sell it back to us and we'd be like, no, we good.
Yeah.
We going to crack heads over here. We golden with that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The old-fashioned way. We're just going to keep doing it the old-fashioned way.
We showed you.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Right. Exactly.
We showed you.
Right.
I mean, like we talked about before, there was always that faction of like guards in every tribe, right? But there wasn't police until after slavery. So it wouldn't make sense to have this kind of response even 400 years later. You know what I mean? Is and like I said, it's this optimum level of distraction here now that's just like, you know what, where people can actually have, they got insight. You know what I mean? It's like, they got all the tools, they got all the pieces, because you know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute. There's something going on here. You know what I mean? Like, night after night, not during the day, night after night, like, I didn't even know. Night after night, people have been outside in Buffalo doing the most. And I'm activated. Like, I'm out. I'm protest. I'm usually out there. You know what I mean? I had my son out there when he was a little baby. You know what I mean? We, you know, he sleep in the car. You know, while I'm close by, you know, we right there doing our thing. You know what I'm saying? But for this one, I felt like my protest was by a different means. You know what I mean? I felt like this time my protest was by means of what was deemed to be illegal, and that's for me to be educated and flex said imagination. You know what I mean? And get with other people that are educated and they like to flex that education no matter who they are. You know what I mean? Because one thing that I feel like as a black man, and this month, baby, this is my 36th year of experience, my 36th summer, you know, in my 36 years of experience, I'm young in it. But I think that, you know, in order for us to have the ingredients for us to have an increased level of solidarity when it comes to problem solving and having solutions, having goals. We need to see other people love us like we love us. You know what I mean? When they are part of us, you know what I mean? Because that's been one successful thing about having this cry out so loud that the universe can hear, is because it's been everybody. You know what I mean? It's been some cops. It's been celebrities. It's been change makers. It's everybody. It's Native Americans, Asians, Blacks, Arabs. It's everybody. It's all of us. It's the real America. It's got Rush Limbaugh speaking about the other side, even though standing on the vanguards for white supremacy, but he reaching out because come on, man, it's up. We know the game. It's the game. We understand, you know, we understand it, but it don't mean that people have to like it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that was kind of fucked up, because, like, it just gives him more ability to, like, kind of gaslight, or, like, white supremacists to gaslight, because they'd be like, yo, if we really hated black people, why would we go on their shows and talk to them, try to talk to them peacefully about this stuff?
But that's the, and that's the,
you know what I'm saying, it further gives them more ammo for that.
But that's the beauty of having this optimal level of distraction.
Yeah.
You have this room to be as insightful as you are right now. Mm-hmm. And even if I weren't, I got this insight coming from you now.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And you could take that in.
I can evaluate that.
Right.
And be like, damn, well, he had a point.
Mm-hmm.
Which you do. However, it's great to see how his narrative is changing.
Right.
Like I said, this is my 36th summer. I've never heard Rush.
No, never.
I don't think I've ever heard him talk to a black person. Oh. And if he has, it was probably a correspondent.
I was going to say it it might have been through like CNN or something. You know what I'm saying? They might have had him on with a black person like real quickly. Like I think someone else. I was going to say Ludacris fucking battled that one dude out. I forgot who it was, though. But it was someone along the lines of Rush Limbaugh. Might have not have been him, but. Bill O'Reilly, that's who it was.
Like the timing is at such a place where miscegenation, that programming of not wanting people to blend races.
Yeah.
It may be in Rush's family at this point.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's DNA now.
One of my best friends of all time, my man Billy, is you know, went through what he went through with his grandmoms with being white, you know what I'm saying? And disowning them and shit like that.
Yeah, man, there's plenty of like mixed people out here that, you know, they're like part of their family's races.
Big time.
Yeah.
But like there were some people that was programmed that didn't know how they really felt. And for like sure. With movies like you got your man, the bodyguard, Kevin Costner fighting over a black child. You got the reverse of that. You mm-hmm. got a black grandmother fighting over this mixed child. And there's other movies like that as well. Mm-hmm. So those people that didn't even have they didn't know if they had an opinion, that made them create one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, how would I
treat my grandkid?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, and we see a lot more. We see a lot more celebration for interracial couples now. You know, it was tolerance before, but we see a lot more celebration of that nowadays within the telling of our stories and everything. So I would say that Rush is even that much of a change of heart is due to something happening to him real close. And he said that it's just the state of everything within America right now. He said it's just enough. Enough is enough. But I just think it's the snowball effect. You know, this all started with a group of protesters in Minneapolis, right? Minneapolis. I said Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Minneapolis. And the snowball effect happened smaller subsequent protests happening in other cities, and then bigger protests in other cities. And then now when that's happened in the past, that's where the artists and celebrity rank will come in and put a little ABC fire extinguisher on the protest and be like, man, let's just go home. You know, let's not act up, cut up. Not now. Not with this youth. You know, they smarter. They all raised on the internet. They believe this narrative of that, you know, everybody is equal and all of this, and that's just the way it is. Not just black people. This is the youth. That's how they feel. That's why they out there with the remedy on the lines with the tear gas, dog. I knew it was real when I seen people getting tear gas, but they brought their own gallons of milk and they keeping their eyes open so the milk can coat their eyeballs so they can catch the remedy and go back out to the front lines again. This ain't stopping. That's what that let me know. I'm like, this ain't no agent provocateur. That's a real dealer. Ain't nobody gonna get blasted. And shout out to my Mike. What's up? Like, I be on a call with my beta brothers, man. You know what I mean? I'm establishing a whole new respect for them brothers in my adult life. Word up. My brother Brown was at the protest the other night. He got shot twice in the back with the rubber bullets, man. Fucked him up. Showed us his back, man. The shit was fucked up. So shout out to them brothers, man. Shout out for to sure. them sisters down in Atlanta, man. That got tased hard like that, man. That's one joint I meant to ask you, dude, how you feel about
what's going on down there, just because that's where
you know how
that's where you're heading.
You know how YouTube you can see like the thumbnail, the video, like
yeah. Sometimes it'll show a little flicker
on your phone. Yeah. So I'm scrolling up my YouTube looking for something to get into, and I seen that headline. You know, they were driving home and this happened, and I just seen the girl body and like how she looked.
Yeah,
I was like, and it's like at that, like I was saying to you earlier, it's like that is not what inflames me. That's not what makes me enraged. What made me enraged the other morning was how in my Slack channels and in life it was business as usual. Could you even say it's ignored? Is that even the right, like,
I feel like people, I don't know if that's the right word, but it feels like people are like going out of their way to not yes. speak on it. You know what I'm saying? Because, and especially, you know, they know you're African American, so it's like almost like they don't want to say the wrong thing and maybe be perceived as being on the other side. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like you're right. Exactly. Like they're scared to even speak on it because they don't want to say the wrong thing and then have you fucking check them.
But you live in the wrong thing, right? Though.
That's what I'm saying.
You're living the wrong thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't want to say it. It's like the conversation you had with dude on the porch the one night, like when we first moved in over where we're at now. And you know what I'm saying? He wasn't scared to say the wrong thing. Like, he was having that open ass, yeah. He was having that open ass conversation with you, but most people aren't even willing to like do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was literally just spitting out of his, like, saying whatever
out of
came,
his gourd.
Yeah, whatever came on the top of his head, and it sounded so crazy. But like a lot of people aren't even
on. That was the rhetoric for a lot of people that was on that porch.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? For
sure. No question.
So that was a great time for them to have that conversation as well.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm saying? Yeah.
Like to.
Absolutely, it was. Absolutely. Yeah, he felt comfortable. That's why it was going down like that.
On many levels, because not only did he feel comfortable, he felt entrenched in the cultural values of y'all.
Right.
We do this all the time. So, like, you be good. Like, you know how to fall in line, too. You know what I'm saying? Because your other man was there, the chef.
Oh, yeah, Big Crit, yeah.
And he be like, he was like, man, I've been trying to have this conversation for a long time. I don't know how to, you know, basically keep that conversation going. It's just like, I
doesn't
like,
know enough. Yeah.
Like, he said he'd get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But so he was just like, man, fuck it. You know what I mean? But with, like I said, it's a joke. But when it happens, and you are serious when that happens, how serious are you really if it was a joke? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a joke Saturday night. Like, that's a joke. It's a running joke in America how blacks, like black people are treated by the police. Like, so if it's a running joke, if that's the running headline, then like, what are we doing about it? And that's what I'm saying, that all of this perfect storm has created this optimal level of distraction to where no sports, no nothing. People are forced full to think about,
on,
yes.
Full focus on this stuff.
Your full fucking focus on it. Your full fucking focus on it. Right?
Everywhere you look, that's what you see too. So it's not like you can really escape it either. Unless you like completely shut yourself out from everything.
And some people do. Some people pretend that they do that, right? Like the gentleman when I was riding the bike today, and I told you, like, I got my mask is like the turtleneck balaclava. You know what I mean? It come up over half of my face. So and my locks is hanging. I washed them today, so I had them up in the air so they can catch that nice breeze while I'm riding the bike. You know what I mean? Running my little errands. So, you know, this man basically spent around with his hand in his pocket because, like, just me riding by, that's symbolizing that tensions are high, right? But my thing is, there's no executive function. There's no mindfulness to say, well, why are my tensions high? Why are my tensions elevated? You know, or if I thought this black man was going to do something to me, why do I think that he's going to do something to me? And be honest with yourself with the answer, right? So that's a perfect segue to where I want to go with how like a business model or a business principle of looking at that, and that is complexity pattern, like complexity recognition, right? So we know that's instead of shit get hard. Shit is difficult, right? But instead of running away from it, we're going to run towards it. And when we run towards it, we're going to highlight and catalog the things that's going well, right? And from the things that's going well, we're going to start to synthesize improvements, right? So like from good and bad, we're going to start to build off some improvements. So that to me is perfect for the times that we living in right now, right? So in America, we work on teams, right? Whether it be for partisanship, our vast number of sport leagues, debate, you name it, right? Even in work, like in factories, you got different teams. You got, you know, we just believe in team in team effort here, right? So within a team, we need to make the problem distinctive, right? And you know, the cornerstone of our conversation I'll just say that our conversation is laced in creative problem solving, right? So distinction to me says clarify yet again. What's happening? What's going on? I feel angst. I feel afraid. Why do I feel afraid? Could you lose your life? Well, if you're black, you wake up with that roll of the dice every day. However, if you're not, you need to clarify why you feel the way that you feel. However, with being an entrepreneur or a business leader, complexity recognition means that you have to have the courage to address that complication or that complexity. Pardon me, not complication. So you get your team together and you don't try to micromanage or be the I in team. You get the people to play the positions that you need to have played. Right? You start to put some solutions in play. And from the solutions at play, also the dynamics and the mechanics of you all working together, you deliberately highlight what's working well. And you park them. Park all that information. That's intel. That's data. Park all that information. Practice again. See, complexity recognition requires time. You clarify what the problem is. You put the team together. You brainstorm. You put think tanks together. You start to build solutions. You go through team dynamics, then you do a major debrief. What's going well? What's working well with us? What's working well within us? What's working well with the ideas that we're producing? You go back into the field. You come back together again. This time we're working on small improvements. Right. So you want to identify what you can change. Again, that requires you to be a decision maker, for you to have ownership. Remember, we're talking about shattering that slavery tool. If you hear and you hear consistently, you're talking about being an owner. And here, the owner play on the team. You know what I mean? We respect people that's in the field. From what you can change, after you've identified it, from what you can change, set a process, create a problem-solving process where you can clarify, ideate, develop, and then implement, so you can start to analyze and evaluate, measure the change that's happening, the implications of said change. From those implications, you start to look for even more complex patterns. And then you start to scale up your problem solving, your team effort, your agility, your acceleration. Whatever ain't working, it'll keep rising up. So you gotta work at weeding it out. You gotta do what's necessary, set protocols at disrupting or mitigating challenges. And then from there you keep working deliberately at that. To set protocol for yourself and your team. So, now mind you, this is my thinking. This is my way of not only coping, but finding revolutionary ways to thrive. So there's another part of this that I want to apply. Another business principle of customer success. And there's usually a couple of different mindsets that comes with the customer success principle. You focused on. So what do you think about when you hear customer success, Goose?
Customer success?
Yeah.
To me, I feel like it's like them being like fully satisfied with their experience, like all the way around, like everything. Everything went smoothly. You got your stuff how you wanted it in the timely manner that you wanted it. Like people you dealt with also, or whatever you had to deal with, worked well. And that's that.
So that's great. That's great. I mean, you know, see, that's what I was saying, like in pre-pro, man, like I'd be around people that I'd be feeling like I needed to go to school to be around. You know what I mean? Because that was like a great guess. So I think I could best answer what customer success is by describing like two mindsets that there is within customer success. So you have the linear mindset where Goose was just talking about, where you basically growing your company. You in the beginning phases of it. But you've been marketing your ass off. You could start at your sales funnel and starting to pump. You know what I mean? You're starting to bleed the trap a little bit. That's when you stop trying to, let's say, put the Big Mac together. You know what makes a Big Mac. You know what makes a Big Mac great. So you do that. So you stop trying to figure in. You done figuring out what makes the Big Mac great. Now you putting that joint into in production, and that joint is working, is, you know. But what makes people keep coming back for the Big Mac, Goose? What keeps them coming in the door? That's what we start to have to identify if we want to expand the company. If we want to build the company, we have to start to build a customer success, a customer loyalty. You know what I mean? That instead of even making a burger at home, I'd much rather go and get me a Big Mac. In fact, I heard you had a coupon for a 2 for $5. Let me get that joint. I'm going to get that. Right? So that's the linear mindset. And then you have the center point mindset, or the central mind, or the center. The center. Pardon me. Got a lot on my mind. And this is where I was saying that you started to implement some things already, and they're going well, right? Everything is working well. Now we need to start to see where we can improve some things, you know? So where are some more opportunities for growth? So Big Macs are going good, but wouldn't it be great if Big Macs had a companion? How about a Big Mac and fry? All that salt, that thick-ass starch and carbohydrate, meat, you need something to wash that shit down. Let's get you a beverage, not just any beverage. Let's get you a good 32-ounce beverage. Heavy ice, so it's nice and chilled for your thrill. Right? So when you're thinking about other growth opportunities, this comes with more responsibility. And this requires a phenomenal pitching effort, because you're not only pitching this to the team to get their buy-in to want to implement this new idea, you're also pitching new partnerships for the expansion of the brand. You know what I mean? That comes outside the house. You know what I mean? That's relationships, new relationships. Yeah. So, well, if and this is about to sound crazy, but it's breaking news. Stella is back going down again for, what is this, the fourth night? It's the fourth night now, right?
Third or fourth, yeah. Third, I think. I think Saturday was the first day of, like, getting together and shit. Here. Oh, yeah, we'll call it four.
Oh, no, I can't remember exactly, but, yeah, so
that's, either way, too many days in a row.
Yeah, because I thought this morning was from the third night. So this would be the fourth night going into tomorrow morning. Yeah, so that's four nights in a row. And I guess now and if it's gotten that violent here, then it's
bound to be that.
It's reflected everywhere else. It's mm-hmm. the fourth night.
Right.
So again, that fatigue is setting in. I'm tired of you being both here. Sides. You tired both of me. Sides. Yeah. So mistakes are happening. Great and spectacular.
No question.
Mistakes.
I mean, you were in the military. You know, like, you can only be on post for whatever for so long, right? Then they got to get you out of there. You got
to be relieved.
Yeah.
But this goes back to what we was talking about before with reform. Like, cops should only be cops for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, we have that conversation all the time.
And it should be a performance. It should be a meritocracy when it comes to pensions. You know what I mean? Like, after that 10 years, if you didn't perform well, you should, you know, it should be like, when you can't produce W-2s for or your 1099s for unemployment insurance, you're getting $140 a month extra on your pension. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that would cut a lot of shit down. You know what I mean? Money is you know, the motivator. Because, cops are the belt line
right.
of the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? They're the belt line of the world that keeps the poor from choking the rich.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even think a lot of them know, like, you know what I'm saying, like, what they're even really protecting. You know what I'm saying?
They seeing it over these 4 days.
Right.
You putting your life on the line against the masses, good and bad. Like, you don't – like, some people
ain't gonna feel good. And the president's in a bunker.
Some people don't feel good hurting another person.
No, I know.
Some people it's easy to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easy for them to hurt something. Mm-hmm. But some people they think it's easy because they with some people that it's easy with. But when they do it, it's not different like anything. Story. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, and that's on both sides.
Yeah.
So it, what we're seeing and what's going on tonight is a reflection of everything, man. It's a reflection. But I do like the stance that, you know, some of my colleagues are taking. You know, shout out to the allies that's been already, you know. Shout out to them people that like my allies that I work with and trying to produce programs for the hood, you know. But shout out to those people that is just turned up. It just clicked to them. And they're curious, and that curiosity has them seduced, and they're trying to figure out what they can do. You know what I mean? Like, don't just ask somebody what you can do. Because a person is already thinking about what they're doing. You have to do some research on what it is that you want to do. You can see things that's going on. You can pick and choose what you want to attack. We need people everywhere. You know what I mean? So shout out to them people that's been proactive at going at that. You know what I mean? If you need some books to recommend, or if you need some books to read, if you know, you just want to educate yourself more about, you know, what this thing is all about. What's really going on with all of this? Why this is really going, you know, how did this get to this point? Because, you know, I've had several conversations with my own people that didn't understand how we got to this point. And, you know, even they thought that, you know, oh man, come on, man, it's time. We just got to come up. Ain't nothing on this. Dog, it wasn't even this sweet 30 years ago. Me and Goose were just talking about it. It wasn't, people weren't even able to make exercise decision making that they make in the day. This equity and agency thing is definitely new. You understand? You understand? Dig what I mean? Hey, Rodney King happened in what? Was that 92, 91,
92? 93
is when that Korean store owner killed that girl in that store.
Okay. So was it 94 then?
I thought Rodney King was before that.
I'm not sure. To me, I felt like it was like the middle, but I mean, I was a baby, so
yeah,
it might have been 92. I remember like doing a little bit of like research on it in school, like when I was in middle school, but I don't remember the exact year. It's like not sticking with me.
Yeah, it ain't sticking. It ain't sticking with me either. But you know, so these things have been going on in our world over here in the Western world was in disease. And severe unrest, you know what I mean? And here's where we stand today. But it's far more active and far more passionate, you know. It's not just the low-end blacks that's out here in the streets this time. It's all of us. It's everybody. You know what I mean? And it would behoove the folks that have positions of leadership to take note from what the people actually want. The people are saying what they want. You got to stop treating us like the girlfriend that you are tricking to think that she's in a relationship. You're gaslighting. Or the guy. Your guy friend. You know what I mean? Nowadays. I mean, every day. That's been going on. I mean, you gotta get what I'm trying to say, man. Right?
Yeah, it made sense to me.
So, you know, we ain't going for that shit no more, man. You know what I mean? Treating us like a pig in the silk hat with lipstick, man. You see what it's getting you, man. It's like you diving in a frozen pond head first. Don't do it. Take these notes, y'all. You know what I mean? Not just for, you know, the current events. Utilize this. Force yourself to acknowledge, to recognize, make it a habit to acknowledge these times of hardship. How things start to get hard. Where's the season? When they got hired, why did they get hired? Is that happening every year in this quarter? Is it happening, you know, what? Why? Let's get down to the bottom of it. Ask the hard questions. Take the hard look. It's uncomfortable. I know it is. I know it is. You don't want to. That's like, I could imagine, or I couldn't imagine, but if you had taken, now I don't want to use that. That's too dark. I don't want to use that example. It would be hard to have a conversation with me if we had some type of fraternal relationship bonding and you betrayed that and you had to, and your ego is inflated and you had to make recompense. You had to say that you were sorry. You ain't going to want to do that. You ain't going to feel like you got to do that. With that empirical theory thinking, not the empirical research thinking, that kind of empire thinking, that monopolistic thinking is what's going to damage you from the inside first. So ask those higher questions, man. You know what I mean? Take advantage of having this optimal level of distraction. And pay attention to what gives you that optimal level of distraction. You know, on average, if you just do a simple Google search on optimal level of distraction for creativity, I think you can look up. You're sure to see some things around like brushing your teeth, taking a run and runners getting that runner's high. Playing with friends or biking, fidgeting, playing with toys, playing a video game. An optimal level of distraction where your brain is able to escape the thoughts, the constant process of you know, like deliberate thoughts, and you could just be focused on something else or distracted, you know, by a video game. And somebody throw a question at you and you able to give them the most profound answer that you've ever been able to give. And you don't know where that came from. We know that comes from the collective consciousness, but you, the vessel, delivered that because optimal level of distraction, insightful thinking. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, so I wanted to give the books some books, and this ain't all the books. This is just some a quick few that my colleague had asked me for. Shout out to him. They're getting proactive about certain things. They awake. To the other side of this madness. It's one thing to complain and be on the side of the stores as always, but why are these people, you know, why is this happening? Trace it, trace the details, trace the money. So I think I got about 8 or so books right here. It's all good to start with. I'll give you a catch up. The cliff notes on the past 400 years of systemic oppression and some potential solutions. So the first we have, Until We Reckon, by Danielle Surratt. That's Until We Reckon. And next we have Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. Joy DeGray. That's PTSS, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. But then we have Automating Inequality by Virginia Eubanks. Automating Inequality. The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. The Souls of Black Folk, W.E.B. Du Bois. The Warmth of Other Suns, Isabel Wilkerson. The Autobiography of Malcolm X. Between the World and Me, Ta-Nehisi Coates. And The Coldest Winter Ever. Those are all give you some things to leave you very, very curious, you know, to make you dive further into the rabbit hole of what would heal us and get us to that optimum level of efficiency and production as a country. You know, the model of what we could be, what could exist for us is amazing. You know what I mean? However, there can't be systemic blockages of progression towards what we could be, and then gaslighting of those blockages. We have to, you know, open the lane up. If you want the best of us, open the lane up. As Ricky Rose say, if you like free minds, okay, then free mind. You know what I mean? And go download Goose new mix too, man. So I forgot about that. What's your new mix?
Man, it's just I threw two of them up for Memorial Day.
Memorial Day mixes.
Got two different vibes. Yeah,
SoundCloud, man. And the link is in the bio on at Gusso Swavy, man. Go get at it, man. Straight up, you heard? We ain't playing out here. We still working. We stay working. You know what I mean? You know, holla at me. You know, my phone line. Get at my phone line. Get at me, man. Email me, man. You know what I mean? Look at some of my courses, my YouTube, or simply get at me. You got a question? Get at me, man. I want to establish a relationship with you. You know what I mean? That's my new shit. Well, it's not my new shit. I've been establishing relationships. However, I want to establish a relationship with y'all. The people that's been consistent. You know what I mean? And if you consistent, that means you're working on something. And this helps you, your brain, think about things differently. And if that is indeed the case, man, why go for the recording when you can get the real deal? Holla at me. Here. But I think that's all I got. You know what I mean? I'm a little beat up. You know? It's like I'm beat up, but it's also like no word to describe how I'm feeling, you know, at the same time. Imagine like just being empowered with the will to walk again, and you start to run. But when you start to run, there's a body harness holding you back. And when you learn that there's a body harness on you, they tell you if you run hard enough that you can snap free from the body harness. But they whispering to one another saying that he ain't gonna never get out of that. But you just got this newfound ability to walk. And you trying to run. You know what I mean? That's how I feel right now. That's the emotion that I have right now in this moment. And I just want the world to pray for me as I pray for it. I want the world to think about me as I think about it. Genuinely think about me as I genuinely think about it. And then I want the world to genuinely allow my agency to shine as I allow it to shine over me. You know what I mean? Just think about a lot of the stuff that we just accept because that's just the way it is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna let y'all go, man. You know what I mean? Goose, what you got for him, man?
Man, just take this time, do your research. Time to learn a whole bunch of shit.
Word up.
You got plenty of time now. Like, that's what this whole podcast in particular was about. You know what I'm saying? You got the ultimate distraction where there's nothing else to do but educate yourself right now.
That's a fact, man. That's a fact, man. So do your Googles, man. You know, duck, duck, go it. Whatever you got to do, educate yourself, man. Just remember, man, that education was once illegal for damn near everybody if you ain't had no money, man. So, like, just let that sink in, man. And that freeing your mind is a revolution in itself. You know what I mean? Starting an investment team. not just be in say, but in trust, not in just trust because we say we trust, but trust in that paperwork. You know what I mean? New shit is we starting paperwork proactively. You know what I mean? Instead of having to have paperwork when somebody come home from prison and we trying to see if they caved in and they got that 5K1, we're going to have paperwork proactively called a trust, man. And we bring our attorneys together, bank officers together, and we produce a trust for our investment teams out here. You know what I mean? And we get all the paperwork, we get all the foundational structures, all everything that we need and to ensure that investment team success. And within those investment teams, we set up institutions, different bastions to look after our hood. You know what I mean? And I say our hoods because we don't get nowhere without all of us. Of course, that's where I'm from. So you know that's where I'm speaking from, for and to. But this is for my people that ain't from that, but they share that rhetoric. As my mentor told me, we must look after one another. It's just as simple as that. We got to do that, man. We got to live with a lot more heart, a lot more compassion, a lot more openness, a lot more trust. I don't want to say faith because you can't even have faith without trusting. So a lot more trust, man. You know what I mean? And our abilities and ourselves, what we got going on, and the belief in flying. And if you ain't believing that you can fly, then start, you got to look around you. You got to, because you ain't around the right people. Because if your people ain't making you feel like you can fly, then you ain't around the right ones. I'm telling you. If your people ain't hitting you up, you know what I mean? Even if they're not telling you you're the best, but if they're not utilizing your skill set because you are the best, you ain't in the right spot. You just like hanging out because you like having people around you. When alone, the science supports that being alone is what gets the job done. It's great to have a social circle because we need other humans. But when it comes to getting that job done and problem solving, our brains need to think deliberately and subliminally. It needs to go to work. You know? So the temperatures is rising out here, y'all. You know what I mean? And for me, it's Phoenix weather. And not Phoenix in Arizona. You heard? I'm talking about us, the Phoenixes, that burn up and purify ourselves in the fire of trauma, struggle, strife. We burn all that shit off and we're stronger. We burn brighter. We last longer by embracing our failures. Analyzing our failures, building solutions from our failures, evaluating those solutions, synthesizing some new thinking and putting that shit in the plan, implementation plan, execution, not just knowing that it works. We putting that shit to work. We putting it to work. We giving it legs. It's a must, y'all. It's a must. So dabble more into that optimal level of distraction. You know what I mean? Remember the equation for creativity. Creativity equals the function of your funky ass attitude multiplied by the knowledge that you have, the imagination that you wield and exercise, and how you evaluate it all. And the cheat code to that evaluation, to that equation, a cheat code to all of that is positivity. You have a positive evaluation. You have a positive attitude. Your creativity will be compounding continuously. You were? So, make that distinction. Get some clarity. Start looking at what's working well and how might we improve it all. And then put it all into a plan. So, that's it. For my kings and queens, keep doing your things out here, man. You know, I feel like that's the when your transformation first pop, that's that, you know, the big burst of light up under a rocket. That's the when you burn that like the hottest, like the brightest when you first transform. You know what I mean? So kings and queens, acknowledge that beacon, get you a beacon. Acknowledge when you have that breakthrough moment and share it. Be vulnerable. You know what I mean? Practice this new thinking. So my gods and goddesses, keep creating. Stay in your zone. Stay with your muse networks. Because right now, we need you to tell our story of humanity more than ever. As a matter of fact, this episode is dedicated to all the humans on the planet. So my guys and God, we need you to keep creating in all facets and all capacities. Firing on all engines. Because it's that very nature that gives us that course correction. You know what I mean? And for you Phoenixes, well, you heard the man say the temperatures is rising. Flame on.